Welcome to day 151 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland from Hidden with Christ Ministries, welcoming you back as we continue to journey through the Word of God. Today we are reading from the Amplified Translation, and we will be covering 1 Kings chapters 3 and 4. And it's the beginning of Solomon's reign in Israel, and we will see how he begins and receives a great gift from the Lord. So beginning at 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. But the people sacrificed to God in the high places, as the heathen did to their idols, for there was no house yet built to the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking at first in the statutes and practices of David, his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. The king went to Gibeon, near Jerusalem, where stood the tabernacle and the bronze altar, to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings Solomon offered on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." Solomon said, "You have shown to your servant David, my father, great mercy and loving kindness, according as he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and uprightness of heart with you. And you have kept for him this great kindness and steadfast love, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, but I am but a lad in wisdom and experience. I know not how to go out, begin, or come in, finish. Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people who cannot be counted for multitude. So give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge and rule this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for long life, or for riches, nor for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to recognize what is just and right, behold, I have done as you asked. I have given you a wise, discerning mind, so that no one before you was your equal, nor shall any arise after you equal to you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings equal to you all your days. And if you will go my way, keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David did, then I will lengthen your days." Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. He came to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Then two women who had become mothers out of wedlock came and stood before the king. And one woman said, "O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And the third day after I was delivered, this woman also was delivered, and we were together. No stranger was with us, just we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your handmaid slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I had considered him in the morning, behold, it was not the son I had borne. But the other woman said, No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And this one said, No, but the dead son is your son, and the living is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. The king said, One says, This is my son that is alive, and yours is the dead one. The other woman says, No, but your son is the dead one, and mine is the living one. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword to the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then the mother of the living child said to the king, for she yearned over her son, Oh, my lord, give her the living baby, and by no means slay him. But the other said, Let him not be mine or yours, but divide him. Then the king said, Give her who pleads for his life, the living baby, and by no means slay him. She is the child's mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had made, and they stood in awe of him, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Chapter 4. King Solomon was king over all Israel. These were his chief officials. Azariah, son of Zadok, was the high priest. Elihoreph and Ahijah, sons of Shisha, were secretaries. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, commanded the army. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Azariah, son of Nathan, was over the officers. Zabud, son of Nathan, was priest and the king's friend and private advisor. Ahishar was in charge of the palace, and Adoniram, son of Abda, was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, who secured provisions for the king and his household. Each man had to provide for a month in a year. These were their names: Ben-Hur, in the hill country of Ephraim, Ben-Deker in Makaz, Sha'albim, Beth-Shemesh, and Elon-Beth-Hanan, Ben-Hesed in Aroboth, to him belonged Soko and all the land of Hefer, Ben-Abinadab in Naphoth-Dor, he had Taphath, Solomon's daughter, as wife, Bana, son of Ahilud, in Tanakh, Megiddo, and all Beth-Shean, which is beside Zarethan, below Jezreel, from Beth-Shean to Abel-Meholah, as far as beyond Jokmeim. Ben-Geber in Ramoth-Gilead, to him belonged the villages of Jair, son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, also the region of Argob, which is in Bashan, 60 great cities with walls and bronze bars. Ahinadab, son of Edo, in Mahanaim. Ahimaaz in Naphtali. He had taken Basemath, Solomon's daughter, as his wife. Baana, son of Hushai, in Asher and Baaloth. Jehoshaphat, son of Peruah, in Issachar. Shimei, son of Elah, in Benjamin. Geber, son of Uri, in Gilead. The country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and of Og, king of Bashan. Only one officer was over all the country at one time, each serving for 1 month. Judah and Israel were many, like the sand which is by the sea in multitude. They ate, drank, and rejoiced. Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Solomon's provision for 1 day was 30 measures of fine flour, 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, besides harts, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl of choice kinds, For he had dominion over all the region west of the Euphrates River, from Tiphsah to Gaza, over all the kings west of the river, and he had peace on all sides around him. Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and fig tree, from Dan to Beersheba, all of Solomon's days. Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided food for King Solomon, and for all who came to his table. Every man in his month, they let nothing be lacking. Barley also, and straw for the horses, and swift steeds they brought to the place where it was needed, each according to his assignment. And God gave Solomon exceptionally much wisdom and understanding and breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. His fame was in all the nations round about. He also originated 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
As we begin to study the life of King Solomon, we can know from this third chapter of 1 Kings that overall, you could say that Solomon started out well. He started out with a humble heart, not unlike King Saul, and was humble enough that when the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him, "Ask whatever you want," his response pleased the Lord because he asked for wisdom to rule the people of Israel wisely. And it also tells us in this third chapter of 1 Kings that Solomon loved the Lord, walking at first in the statutes and practices of David his father. So we know from this verse that there was a definite, genuine love, worship, and reverence for the Lord when Solomon first became king. However, this third chapter also gives us insight into some early seeds of trouble that were sown by Solomon that would end up in the end bringing down his kingdom and his life and relationship with the Lord. And the key that we see, or the clue that we see here, was given to us in the very first verse of chapter 3 of 1 Kings, where it says, "And Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David." And this was a political alliance and therefore a political marriage, but it was a direct violation of the Mosaic law that we found and read in Deuteronomy 7:3. That scripture clearly instructed the people of Israel that when they ended up in the promised land and were surrounded by the heathen nations, that they were not to make marriages with them. They were to make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. So when we see King Solomon in this first verse of 1 Kings chapter 3 making an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he was in violation of that Mosaic law. And then when he took Pharaoh's daughter as a wife, he was secondarily in violation of the law of God. So he begins well in his heart with the humility, with the recognition that he needed the wisdom of God to rule Israel. But at the same time, he was not careful to obey with a very strict standard the word of the Lord and the law of God. And so he began by taking the daughter of the king of Egypt as a wife. And we will see as we continue to study about the life of King Solomon that he continues this practice of making political alliances and political marriages with the heathen nations surrounding Israel. But let's focus for a few minutes on the very precious and pleasing answer that Solomon gave to the Lord when God appeared to him in a dream and told him to ask whatever it is that God could give to him. And Solomon's answer, which was pleasing to God, was basically that he requested that God give him an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge God's people so that he would be able to discern between good and evil. And the Lord, as we heard during this reading today, was pleased, and he told him, because you've asked this and not asked for long life or riches or for the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to recognize what is just and right, behold, I have done as you asked. I have given you a wise, discerning mind so that no one before you was your equal, nor shall any arise after you equal to you. And so this was something that pleased the Lord so very much. And it is a request that God delights in answering. In fact, we see the exhortation in the book of James in the New Testament that if a person lacks wisdom, it says in James 1:5, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. This is a great word of promise for us today. We face challenges in today's culture, in today's society, that are above and beyond anything that has been seen before on the earth. Our lives in our modern society have become more complicated, more crowded with time-consuming events and requirements upon people living in a fast-paced culture, and the need for wisdom is so very huge. God wants his people to walk in a level of wisdom that will astonish the world. We know that Solomon's wisdom astonished the people of Israel, and it also brought awe even from heathen nations that surrounded Israel, who heard simply by rumor that King Solomon possessed a supernaturally amazing gift of wisdom. And they came to test him with hard questions, and they came to hear his wisdom being expounded. God wants to have his people be the possessors of the greatest wisdom on the face of the earth. And because we are New Testament people who have been given the privilege of having the Holy Spirit reside within our spirits, we have access to that supernatural wisdom that we can tap and inquire of the Lord and receive from the Lord this precious wisdom that will bring an astonished response from others, but it will also bring glory to God as it did in the life of Solomon. So if you're lacking wisdom today in any situation that you're facing, perhaps it's at work, perhaps it's in your family life, maybe it's with regard to finances. If you're lacking wisdom, or as the Amplified Bible puts it, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, and I love that, of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it, which is wisdom, will be given to him. That's a promise from God for your life today. We saw God answer with pleasure this prayer that Solomon prayed for wisdom. He will answer with pleasure a request from your heart to be given wisdom with regard to the circumstances and challenges of life that you are facing. But there is one condition that is given in the book of James when we ask for wisdom. And the condition that is required in order to receive answer to that prayer of asking God for wisdom is found in the next verse, verse 6 of James 1. It says, only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. So this scripture tells us that the requirement to receive from God the answer to the prayer where you are asking God for wisdom is that you ask in faith. And faith simply means that you believe what God says. If God says you can ask for wisdom and receive it, then you have to put aside any doubt that you won't receive it, put aside any hesitation in believing God's word, and you by faith say, God said it, I believe it, and I look with expectant anticipation that I will receive it. Because God said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he can receive it. Without any reproach from the Lord for asking or for the fact that you don't have the wisdom you need. There's no reproach that God has for you when you come before him humbly asking him for wisdom. Instead, he will give it freely when you come to him in faith, believing you'll receive what you've asked for when you prayed. And verse 7 tells us, for truly, let not such a person imagine that he'll receive anything he asks for from the Lord if he doubts or wavers. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, that he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, or decides. So God is very serious about this business of asking in faith, meaning that you don't go ahead and say, God, please give me wisdom, and you wait a few days and you say, God's not going to give me any wisdom. I should already know what to do. Or you have some hesitation in believing that the Lord delights to answer your prayer and definitely delights to impart his wisdom to you for your life, for your family. It's God's heart for you. He wants you to walk in wisdom. He wants you to demonstrate the Spirit of God within the Christian gives wisdom to the believer. He wants to bring glory to himself by answering that prayer. So don't be discouraged. If you don't know immediately what to do when you pray about a situation, but be rest in faith that God is going to answer and you will be given the direction you need, the wisdom you need, and the guidance from God that you need for your life circumstance. That's God's desire for you. So I want to encourage you this week. Every time you need to make a decision, whether it is a small decision or a life-altering decision, be very careful that you don't try to just do it in your own strength or make the decision in your own natural mind, but instead take a moment and say, God, you're the God of all wisdom, and you said in your word that if anybody lacks wisdom, they can ask of God, and that you will give it liberally, generously. And you and I can receive that wisdom from you. So, Lord, I'm asking, what should I do about this circumstance? How shall I proceed? What is the wisest course? What is the best choice for me that falls into the center of your will? All of the things in life we can go to God for, the smallest to the largest decision, and He will be blessed. He will be pleased that you asked, like He was pleased when Solomon asked for wisdom, and then He answered that prayer in an abundant way, and Solomon walked in a level of wisdom that had never been seen on the earth. God wants that for you. Ask Him today, whatever it is you need wisdom for, ask of God, and He will give it generously. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.